So this is the College 101 episode. If you're really already engaged with sales enablement, you've got a team, a structure, you know what this thing is, then probably just dive into one of Scott Santucci's podcasts. He's incredible, I think, worth listening to, and definitely can help the more sophisticated and advanced dive into a deeper understanding of how to do this better. Who is this for then? I think if you're a $10, $15, $20 million company, I don't know, maybe even $50 million company, and you've heard this sales enablement noise, and you think, I'm going to explore this. This is the one for you. This conversation is going to be great for you. Thinking about the metaphor of your business and all these silos, sales, marketing, training, and those are the three that are primarily engaged with sales enablement. They're sort of like little pockets of colored glass, you know, but your customers, your prospects, they're not looking at your company in these silos. They're looking at a stained glass window. They see one picture, one thing. So when you see a lot of this sales enablement dialogues being driven by tech, that's just a piece of it, right? That's a tool. That's not what sales enablement is. What I want to see when a company is beginning to explore sales enablement is how do training, sales, and marketing come together? In fact, I recently was in a meeting with a prospect and sales was asking for help. Training was interested, but marketing said, we got it covered, don't need it. Well, that prospect was not ready to dive into sales enablement. All three parties have to understand that they want this thing or jointly acknowledge they're trying to solve a problem that they're facing. So I would start with that insight. Get those three groups together and explore that need. Another thing we need to do is define sales enablement. So Forrester Research is where I tend to lean, and here's their definition. Sales enablement is a strategic, ongoing process that equips all client-facing employees, marketing and sales, with the ability to consistently and systematically have a valuable conversation with the right set of stakeholders at each stage of the problem-solving or buying life cycle in order to optimize the return of investment on the selling system. Well, I wish I'd written that. We've actually been doing that as a firm, and we discovered that in the mid-2000s. We've been helping our clients map out and plan and create marketing and sales alignment around the customer's needs through our tool, Cognitive Marketing, which is a behavioral science-based model of understanding what prospects need as they go from unaware or of a company or unaware of how that company might get the help they need from your product or service all the way through to being an advocate. It's really critical to see the world that way. So ultimately, sales enablement is not that complicated, but what's beautiful about it, it's sort of like an air traffic controller. And there's one role that's taking sales and marketing and training and focusing and coordinating its efforts. I mean, you can imagine you wouldn't fly, right, without an air traffic controller. But man, we go to market all the time with sales and marketing and training all doing disparate things. We might have a common vision. You as an executive might have cast that vision, but you still need that day-to-day coordination. You need the metrics. You need the measurement. That's what sales enablement's about, and that's why you should start thinking about it. Sales enablement's efforts are not, and they should not be on marketing's back to carry. It's also not the sales force that should drive it, nor the product team, nor the HR team, training. We do need executive buy-in across the board, but it shouldn't be just an idea that one of those silos have. There's no common definition of sales enablement in the marketplace. There's at least 14 plus definitions. So if you look at the numbers, right, numbers don't lie. Let's look at how sales enablement typically gets built. The research is showing that 65% of sales enablement resources are in building the plan, and then 30% of resources are assigned to running the plan, new hires, ongoing training, and implementing the playbook. And then there's only 5% of the budget left for people to lead those strategic functions around sales enablement. Our belief is that that might not be the right way to go. There's too much emphasis on the early budget and that sales enablement effort, building it. But at least there's only an initial capital expenditure to build it. Then you've got to spend money and flip it. Start putting more money in executing this playbook. So broadly speaking, as you look at how do you fund this, just understand that those are three factors. And then again, there's three groups. There's training, sales, and marketing. All three of those groups need funding and need to understand what their roles are and how they should work together. So where should sales enablement report? Sales enablement, if it's led by sales, has some advantages because it's aligned tightly with sales leaders. Sales tends to lead by example and gets things done. Sales tends to focus on things that close deals. And they're typically good at getting resources and funding. Most executive teams respect the SVP of sales when they're asking for funding. Perhaps it's because of that direct connect, at least in their head, of sales closes deals. And that is true. Marketing typically doesn't close deals. However, marketing should be supporting deals all the way through the cycle. So what are the cons? I think if sales enablement is led by sales, it tends to exclude training and it tends to exclude marketing. Maybe not its full extent, but at least to some development. And sales enablement led by sales can tend to look like it's being done for sales, therefore just another sales program. But remember that definition of sales enablement. It's the integration of all three departments and areas, and each is equipped to do a different thing. So what if marketing led it? Well, that would be great because it would align with content planning, content teams, marketing early stage, perhaps a really good marketing team that's equipped late stage tools. Yeah, the role might tend to be more agnostic. Cons, however, marketing can tend to forget the skills that it takes to close deals. Marketing can create a lack of alignment because it's more focused on what it's doing and not necessarily aligned or understanding what sales does or how training might fit. So I think there's some pros and cons there, but it's just good for you to consider. And then finally, training. What if training leads? What if HR is in charge of this? You know, we see a majority of sales enablement efforts coming out of training. And I think it's because they have this view to see the universe and look at all the different areas and identify how we could train up and grow and improve every department. And it's that view, that omnichannel view of a business and the way it functions that allows them to initiate these ideas, these programs. So, you know, the pros of them running it is, them doing the intake, them doing the hire for the sales enablement leader, for them doing the hire for marketing team, sales team, and even their own training staff, and them understanding a sales enablement plan allows them to hire to it in a way that creates effectiveness and employee retention. They already are core to a common language and used to a role of training and getting everybody on one page. And typically, training tends to be process-driven. Sales and marketing often are not process-driven. I'd also take a quick aside. Sales can tend to focus on short-term objectives. We've got a cover plan for this quarter, for this year. Marketing should have a longer view. They should be looking, and I mean marketing well done. Marketing looking long-term down the view, looking at positioning, product development. They should be thinking 4 or 5 years out strategically, not just short-term. So there's weaknesses and strengths in each of those roles. Training can take that all into consideration and be process-driven. So the cons, training doesn't think like a sales team. Training doesn't think like a marketing team. Maybe the idea there is training could have a specialist who really takes time to learn sales and marketing. So where for you, where should you have this led? I'd say the executive, the owner, the principals, to who we typically work with, they should look at all three of those roles, consider the pros and cons. We'll be glad to interview, to help you make that decision, but choose one of those three. And I tend to kind of like the idea of training leading it because of that process-driven model and methodology. If I can take one more quick second, I'll share with you what I think are some important metrics that you could start to measure. And this will give you an insight to why sales enablement is important. So if you don't have a great metrics system, if you're this emerging company and it's time to finally identify what we're going to measure so that we can improve on it, we look at the following measurements in sales enablement: quote attainment, win-loss ratio, win-loss rates, sales cycle time, how long is the deal flow, deal size, time to ramp, employee attrition, content effectiveness, employee engagement, and then we always look at sales barriers. We have a sales barrier analysis that identifies where there's barriers, and then the following year, we can identify if we've broken those barriers down. That's an ongoing process. Okay, so I had us wait a second because I wanted you to hear these ideas. This is what went through my head. You ever have that thing where after a conversation you think, oh, that's what I should have said? Well, this is the way I got to do that. I want you to enjoy the conversation. Again, it's focused on a smaller, emerging middle market company, somebody who hasn't put their toes into the pool yet, but they need to get these ideas and explore them. So I guess from here, I'm going to go away and get back to the business here.
Sean, you are,
yes,
totally awesome.
Aw.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks,
that's
Will.
So cute.
You're welcome.
Oh, that is Anna Savarni and Will Riley. They're our guests today on Aligned, our podcast for the executives of middle market companies looking to improve their sales and marketing ROI. You know, a highlight today of the conversation was the practical and actionable ideas Anna and Will shared about sales enablement. So let's dive in. So we really are rolling. We're speeding. We're speeding van speeding. Welcome to Aligned. I'm Sean Doyle, your host, with Will Riley, the Director of Sales Enablement at Fitzmartin.
Hey, Sean. And thanks for having me.
Anna Savarni is the Director of Client Services.
Hello. My go-to is
this is
like,
how they are. They're kind of casual.
Morning,
yeah, people are laughing.
Like it, though. Yeah, it's all right.
I'm really looking up our name.
Anna usually has more to say on that. So today what we wanted to do was have a conversation about sales enablement. And this is in follow-up to a podcast that, I guess it was a webinar, yeah, Will, that you and I did with one of our clients who has experienced sales enablement, seen the results from sales enablement, can put an ROI on it. And after that, the conversations and questions came about, maybe we need to dive more deeply into this. So today I want to define what is sales enablement, why is it important, and then how is it practiced, and maybe even who owns it. Like, who are the responsible parties in the business, yeah, that or the organization that should be involved with this this practice, this conversation? First question, who owns sales enablement? Who in the organization should be listening to today's conversation?
Yeah, I think it varies from client to client. We've seen it where, depending on what the resources or staffing situation is within an organization, it actually is a sales enablement director, someone that focuses on that. Sometimes it's marketing led, so the director of marketing plays a bit of a role in sales enablement, or someone from the sales force comes in and actually takes ownership of that. We've not had one client with a repeatable internal process in terms of who is the owner.
I also think it varies depending on how your organization is set up. So, you know, if it's a smaller organization that has maybe, say, a director of marketing and a vice president of sales, it's really going to kind of depend on those personalities and what their role really looks like, who might own that relationship. But I'd say it's going to be the person that's the leader in that area. There are organizations, bigger organizations, that have a true CMO who that might be the person that is responsible.
So it seems like y'all's answers are kind of on a as-is basis, sort of all over the map, like there's no, which leads me to question, like, is this even a new thing, or is this just a new name on the way things used to get done? Why are we even having this conversation about sales enablement? What is it? Let's start with maybe with what it is and then answer the question, Is it new? And who was doing this role in the past?
Yeah, I think there's a little bit, just as we've seen with inbound marketing or lead generation, we pick on sales enablement as the new buzzword in marketing and sales. I don't think any sales rep ever has not tried to sell more effectively.
So if it was 2 years ago, we'd be having this dialogue about marketing automation technology.
We really would.
And then 2 years later, there's 400 options and we're worn out by it. Is this just going to be a flash in the pan? Or is this, I mean, like MAT, marketing automation isn't a flash in the pan, right? It's still around. It's just not a hot subject.
We're seeing it in, as you know, in sales meetings that people are asking for this.
And okay, I don't think that's different.
I don't think people have asked that in years past.
What are you saying? Salespeople are wanting it? Or sales VPs? Who's asking for it?
It's usually a VP or CMO level. It's not someone at a director or at a coordinator. It's someone that's in charge of a department or that's leading the cause of an organization.
When's the first time you heard of it?
Gosh, it probably was, I mean, within the last couple of years, like that phrasing of sales enablement.
And it came out of your roots and expertise in marketing automation.
It did, absolutely. Yeah. Because so much of marketing's role is helping sales and the sales department, sales people. And I think we were short-sighted as marketers to only say that it was lead gen or demand gen. You're even seeing words like pipeline acceleration and things like that evolve from marketing focusing on the technology piece of it, because if there's no infrastructure, then we can't really help sales sell more effectively.
Interesting. Okay, I love the word that you just used, helping. I hate that you acknowledge that, like, we didn't know it 2 years ago, but it's reality. I think it has definitely come to a heightened awareness. So let me take a second. I'm going to read the definition that I have in front of me, at least. Sales enablement is the process of providing the sales organization with the information, content, and tools to help salespeople sell more effectively. So the foundation of it then is sharing information. So as marketers, it makes sense that we're sitting in the middle of that. Because early stage, if you want to break things down into early and late stage, early stage, we're the first people as marketers to get information, right? Some salespeople are going out and finding early stage leads, but most of them want marketing to provide a lead. So out of marketing, automation technology, this idea of and pressure on marketing to provide leads came about. But then, and I know, Anna, you've dealt with this, lead quality is the next problem, right?
Yep.
So marketing automation maybe was insufficient in that it didn't.
I think people that jumped on the inbound and marketing automation craze a couple of years ago, it's makes total sense to adopt that as part of your marketing strategy, but in some cases it was a little bit short-sighted in that it did not take it to the next level of lead quality. What happens when that lead gets passed off to sales, and are we closing the loop and seeing did anything come of these? So many companies, marketing departments just focused on number of leads. And so I feel like the sales enablement is a buzzword, and it's something we've been hearing a lot of, and it's relatively new, but it's sort of that next step in maturity for an organization. Sure, it's standard operating procedure, so I don't think it's going to go away, but it's something that I think you have to have the maturity of mastering inbound marketing and lead generation before you can really even get to that point.
So maybe it's one of those things when you're interviewing an agency or a marketing director or an SVP of sales, you're listening for this phrase, you're listening for this methodology, and if they're unaware of it, they probably don't have the foundation to lead.
Right. It indicates where they are in the spectrum, I think.
That's interesting.
Where it really works the best is when an organization is sophisticated, meaning that they have the right tools, technology in place, they have a marketing department, they have a sales force, and there's a regular cadence of meeting, sharing ideas, collaborating.
So, Will, I know you're working on this thing to be named later, but we've been dubbing it the Marketing Maturity Index, and you're building an algorithm of sorts to figure out where an institution is in its marketing maturity.
Absolutely.
So what I'm hearing you say is that there is a baseline of maturity, understanding that you need to have. I want people to be able to look at themselves and say, you know what, I have A, B, and C. Maybe it's time for me to start thinking about sales enablement. What would be that foundation? Maybe it's even just technology.
Yes, I have a CRM system. I have an MAT system in place. My website is generating leads. If you're doing those things, then yes, because where do those leads go, right?
Can sales enablement work? Little rabbit trail here. Can sales enablement work if marketing doesn't produce leads? I guess in essence, it could,
yes,
because it's still providing information.
It's still providing information.
Business intelligence.
It's a different, right. I mean, I think the most common way we see it is through lead generation. It certainly can exist without lead generation. It's just a different avenue. You know, we talk a lot about in our framework for sales enablement, having an SLA or service level agreement between sales and marketing. Marketing is going to produce this many leads and sales is going to close this many or whatever it looks like. So you'd have to just get a little creative and think about what that looks like. You know, at the very minimum, it's at least having a weekly, monthly touch base on what are you hearing from your customers? Does this message even resonate?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it, to your point there, to answer your question, Sean, whatever channel's producing a lead. So if it's the website, if it's a paid effort, because whenever we're coming into sales organizations, what do all of them go to? Trade shows. That's one of the number one provider of leads for them. And anyone that we've interacted with has said, I need feedback on if these trade show leads are any good or not. They're asking the same questions when it comes to digital or marketing efforts. So I do think that there is a role to play, even if you're just utilizing some of those traditional lead gen channels, like at a trade show or an event, something like that.
So a marketing director, an SVP of sales, and a sales enablement officer walk into a bar.
And they hit their head on the bar. Right?
Is that the... What would the joke be there? I don't know. I feel like there should be a joke about the three of them. We'll have to come back. Yeah. Maybe episode two, we'll answer that one.
I love a joke.
So, Anna, what I'm hearing is a, kind of an insider tip for the practice of sales enablement, and that's the SLA. That's brilliant. I love it. The idea that both groups have to make a commitment, but they're doing it jointly because historically it's very siloed, right? You've got marketing's doing its thing, whatever they do, and sales is doing its thing, and the CEO always pays attention to that because it's closer to revenue. And most companies have this last touch attribution model. So sales typically gets all the credit and marketing executives, and maybe this is an exaggeration, but they know they should be doing it, but maybe not why and really how it's adding. So earlier you said something about a closed loop attribution, which technology has enabled. So what do you have to have to do sales enablement? A technology platform that would allow you to follow an individual lead through to revenue, and then two, beginning a dialogue between sales and marketing at the strategic level. We're going to agree to serve each other this way. I doubt of the people listening, many people have a marketing team that knows exactly what sales is doing, where they are, or vice versa, a sales team that knows or even cares what marketing should do. So that's probably an episode later for a dialogue about what sales cares about and why marketing and sales have been siloed. I have this belief system that marketers typically don't know how to help sales late stage well enough, and they've lost the credibility of sales. Sales enablement, I think, could face a barrier for most marketers. Not necessarily the sales team wants more information, more business intelligence, but maybe marketers trying to step up to that bar. That SLA is great because it would tie you to a commitment. Marketing probably always gets attributed with, oh, you're all the guys with the earrings and the long hair, and you just have fun and do whatever it is you do. We have to do the real work out there selling, making revenue happen. So I love that idea, that SLA idea.
Yeah, and I think what, to your point, I mean, there are barriers from the marketing team because they don't know, they may not know how to sell or have never sold before. So one of the first things that, in terms of an intake or onboarding, is you've got to understand your sales cycle, your product offering, what's the LTV on a product. I mean, a lot of these foundational SVP level of data. Well, now the marketer has to understand that just as well as they do the different channels and technology on how to get the message out. So in some ways, it's a lot harder to get that started because there's just a learning curve there, right, of internal structure, processes, systems.
Well, it's good to take effort to do this. Why should somebody listening even start exploring this? Like, what's gotten y'all the most excited? The results you've seen, or maybe a way marketing has been able to impact in a way it hasn't in the past, or a way sales embraced marketing? What are some success stories?
I can think of one recent success story we have with a client where for a long time, marketing has been pretty siloed. The website was generating leads and sporadically would get feedback from sales or upper management. Ah, these leads are crap, but y'all know who I'm talking about now.
Yeah, sure.
That client.
Yeah. And, but that feedback wasn't helpful. You know, it needed to be more instructive. But recently with that client, we've had a little bit of a breakthrough and are getting on the phone weekly with their number one sales rep and vice president of sales, brainstorming ways we can target some late stage prospects that are on their short-term sales horizon, and getting the feedback and hearing it's like a barrier has been broken down and they are speaking to marketing as they would another sales person.
Love
so
it.
it's like the perception has changed a little bit that now they do see value in what marketing can do. And because we have become so ingrained with them and we understand their sales process, they trust us and they are going to work with us that way.
If I remember one of that client, you also built a website designed specifically for late stage leads. And Will, I think you built a way to communicate only with the executive officers of the target companies.
Absolutely.
And this is a website that if you Googled it, you couldn't find it. It's just, it's not that it's unpublished, but it's not designed for someone to explain who the company is or what the products are. It's designed to meet the needs of a late stage prospect.
And it was a one particular pain that we knew that prospect was dealing with.
Yep.
And was so
and that was information that we got from sales.
It was through our call. We were sitting around during a monthly marketing report, and we were mentioning some of the benefits of cookie and IP-based targeting and how we've done that with other clients and that we should implement that there. And it immediately became an ideation session with the CEO, and that led to this whole campaign and effort. And
so sitting at the table, sales was there, marketing was there, the executive leader was there. So you had this great, powerful way to move into, which is such a better plan than artists and writers kind of throwing some clever ideas or headlines. That just elevates us as a profession. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
So rewinding briefly, Anna, you said something about understanding what we call cognitive marketing, a consumer decision journey. Now, in our philosophy, we believe a lot of people understand the consumer decision journey. They don't understand necessarily all the examples of when are specific tactics and techniques powerful and when they're not. For example, creating awareness with a late stage prospect is meaningless. So that's wasted money. But creating a helping relationship or a pilot project to give a kind of a taste and see attitude or deep testimonials, those are late stage tools that are ineffective early stage. So not only do you need to have an agreement on the consumer decision journey, which at your company it's probably called a sales pipeline, or somewhere along the path you've experienced the process of defining, here's the steps people go through when buying. And anybody's welcome to use our model, the cognitive marketing model. We'll give it to you for free. And it's just a good basic tool. The processes are that next level, and that's where that powerful marketing comes in. That's where that sales enablement comes in. And then we call them the nine arrows in the quiver of our toolkit. So those ideas are probably a little bit deeper. So I think we've done a great job of introducing sales enablement, but we've not done a lot to help somebody know what to do this at their office. Can y'all stay in the studio for a few more minutes and we could continue this in another episode?
So busy.
Hang in for one more minute, okay?
Uh-huh.
Join us again for the next episode. Anna and Will and I are going to continue our conversation of practical, interesting insights, stuff you can take back to work and apply to your sales enablement thinking today. I'm Sean Doyle, and this is the Aligned Podcast.